Over a period of years, I had enjoyed Marion Carcache's stories in collections like Bell's Letters, China Berries and Crows, and Climbing Mount Chiaha. And now comes her own collection of 14 stories, clever, insightful, often very funny. Carcache writes almost exclusively about women, not country club women, the ladies who lunch, and not sharecroppers, boiling clothes in a kettle in the yard or picking cotton. These women are the hard-working, blue-collar women we see every day behind the counter at the dollar store, bringing us a meal at the Meat and Three, standing long days on their feet at the beauty parlor, or, as it is called here, the beautatorium. A common refrain in these stories is plain tiredness. By the end of the day, there is little energy for cooking an elaborate meal or going out on the town. What these women would like mostly is a quiet evening at home with a husband who pays them a little attention. This is rarer than you might think. The husbands in these stories are mainly a doltish lot, interested in drinking beer and watching sports on TV in their recliners, not talking. Some have already taken off with much younger women. In She Stopped Loving Him Today, Lenora has been abandoned by Randall for Sheena, a dental hygienist younger than their daughter Mary Joyce. Sheena has silicone breasts shaped like the Tin Man's hat. How could he? Lenora is hurt, but not destroyed. Like many of the women in Carcache's stories, she survives, works at making herself more attractive by highlighting her hair, walking for exercise, smoking Virginia Slims, and drinking light beer at a local lounge. In the end, she gets over Randall, stops loving him, and, unlike George Jones's hero, she does not have to die to do it. Sometimes the wife takes off, leaving behind husband and children. Moselle Skaggs King leaves her home, becomes a masseuse at the Pink Cloud Motel and Massage, and then, after a raid, runs off with the circus, or more exactly, the Chattahoochee Exposition, where she becomes Cannonball King and is daily shot out of a cannon. She is the envy of many less adventurous women. In what I think is the best story, Wing Flicks, narrated by Memory, a young girl, Eddie Farrow, a charismatic wanderer and talented musician, moves in with Mama, and the two are a perfect match. He completes her. But Eddie leaves. Memory wants to track him down, bring him back any way they can. Mama wisely knows Eddie is a free spirit and will return if and when he chooses. Reader, he does. The volume is bookended by a pair of epistolary stories with some sharp satiric edge. Patty Fairchild writes to the Crispy Spud Company on her therapist's recommendation. As a little girl, the Crispy Spud delivery man had given Patty presents and tickled her inappropriately. She really has no complaints, insisting she learned skills like how to imagine herself elsewhere when a situation is unpleasant. Quote, "That ability has served me well through graduate school, childbirth, an income tax audit, and a divorce," end quote. Patty does not see herself as a victim, and the reader might not either. What's true for Patty is true for most of the resilient heroines of The Moon and the Stars.